Welcome to Season 3 of Cult and Culpability. I'm T.A. Newman, your host and keeper. In a moment, we'll rejoin the Priddo family. But first, a reminder that Chaosium's tabletop role-playing game Call of Cthulhu contains mature themes, including cosmic horror, character death, and loss of sanity. If you'd like to become a friend of the Playhouse, then please support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can gain access to exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. And now it's time to pull back the curtain and roll the dice. Anastasia, this woman in this white dress, your mother. You've heard the Reverend tell you that this is your mother. Her hands drop from her face. She reaches out for you. You see that she is a rotted, bloated, drowned corpse of your mother. And she reaches out for you and dives at you. Can you give me a dexterity roll, please?
Okay, that is an extreme success with an 11 over 75.
So not only do you manage to kind of get away from her before she gets to you, so it's rather than a dodge roll where she physically attacks you, this is more kind of moving out of the way before she fundamentally gets to you. You are able to kind of put distance between you and her. You are also aware that Charlotte is there and she is sitting at her desk reading reading a story or something that she's written. She's reading a folk tale that she's written. You can hear this disembodied voice of the Reverend who seems to be talking to you and to, was it your brother perhaps? What do you do, Anastasia?
What happened to you, mother? Oh God.
You are like me. You are.
And her hands begin to reach out to you. You can see the rotted flesh. You can see parts that have been eaten away. You can see bone poking through.
You are like me.
And she just is now taking slow steps towards you rather than aggressively rushing you.
Anastasia, ask your mother if she knows where your father is. Where is Adam?
She doesn't look like... Like her pictures, Uncle.
Thomas, she doesn't look like Mother. Are you sure it is your mother?
It is Mother, but her face. Her face. I don't even want to think about it. And Thomas is going to shrink away from the Reverend.
Anastasia, if it's troublesome, do turn away. Go back to Charlotte. Maybe pat Charlotte on the shoulder. Maybe she can be of some support to you.
She can't hear me.
Two things happen. One, Thomas, you shrink away from the Reverend for firing these questions at you about your mother, something that you'd seen and witnessed. And as you do, you move to the side of the room. You hear again the voice.
Find me. I'm with your mother. Find me.
Can I walk towards where the voice is coming from?
Yeah.
Does it get any louder?
Yeah, it does. Can you give me what kind of roll should we have for this, Thomas? I'm excited.
An arts craft excitement roll?
No. How about I think it's a listen roll, perhaps. You're following that voice, or is it a track roll, perhaps?
It's going to be a listen at 20, but we'll see how we do,
shall
we?
Let's have it. And if you don't succeed, it's not that you're not hearing the voice. It's just where you're trying to locate it.
That's a 15 under 20, a regular success, but I will take that.
Wow. Okay. So, Thomas, something happens, but I'm also going to ask for some other things that are going on in the background of this. Thomas, you're hearing the voice and you're able to follow it. At the minute, you find yourself walking to the large windows of the study. Cosgrove, you are sitting in this study. You are hearing the Reverend talking to someone who is not there. Mm. And only moments ago, it was Thomas who professed that he could speak to the dead or the disembodied.
It's clearly a family ailment.
Absolutely. And I'd like you to inform me what it is that you're going to do, Lord Cosgrove.
Well, I think having actually heard a little bit of the... Well, not both conversations of what young Master Thomas is hearing. I'm going to ignore the Reverend for the moment and just concentrate very much on what Thomas is doing. It looks like he's going to leave the room. I'll follow him. It seems like he's in a vulnerable condition, and it would be churlish to leave him alone.
You, Lord Cosgrove, can see that Thomas is walking up to the large windows within the study that look out over the Prideaux grounds. And you can see that Thomas walks up and his ear is turned, but he gets to the windows and he hears the...
I'm with your mother. Find me.
And in that moment, both Cosgrove and Thomas, you... both feel the temperature drop. Something terribly. And on that centre pane of the window, it's almost like you can see breath. And it steams up. Your eyes, both of you, are drawn to it. And then you hear that unmistakable squeak of someone's finger moving down the window. And you see letters being drawn in the breath on the window. L-A-K-E.
Find me.
Thomas will look at Cosgrove and look out at the lake and back at Cosgrove. Are we following this, sir?
Do believe we are.
Fantastic. And Thomas will lead Cosgrove to the lake.
The Reverend, you see that Thomas and Cosgrove are readying to leave, but you can hear Anastasia's voice. Charlotte, you're sitting in your chair. Anastasia, you said you were walking over towards Charlotte? Anastasia, what are you doing?
I think I'd still be taking slow steps away from... my terrifying mother, and asking my uncle, what do I do? Uncle, I'm scared.
Charlotte can't hear me.
One
moment, and the Reverend would like to race upstairs to Charlotte's room.
Reverend, do you just walk in to a lady's room?
Heavens above, no. He'll give a gentle but very firm knock. Charlotte.
Charlotte, you're going to need to give me an extreme listen roll, please.
Okay. Let's give it a go. What have I got for listen? I don't think it's too brilliant. It's 27. So, that's a fail of 62. Against 27.
Charlotte, you don't hear anyone knocking at the door. You don't hear anything apart from your own words, from your own story whipping around your head. Reverend, there's no response.
She must be asleep. He'll knock again and say, Charlotte, I'm coming in. I do need your help. And he'll open the door, but look very firmly at the floor.
Reverend, as you go in and look at the floor, you can see the floor of Miss Lambert's, Miss Dunn's, Miss Lambert's bedroom.
Charlotte,
of Charlotte's bedroom. You can see the floor. You can see the beautiful rug laid over the wooden floor. You can see the end of the bed, but without raising your brow, I'm afraid you can't see much.
Anastasia, I'm in Charlotte's room. Do you see me?
Do I?
No, you don't.
Do I still see Charlotte?
Yes, you do.
Is still reading?
Yes, she is.
Uncle, no, nothing's changed.
Goodness me. He'll briefly look up quickly at Charlotte to ascertain where she is and whether she is decent and whether he needs to beat a hasty retreat or indeed help his poor niece.
Charlotte, you were sitting at your desk reading, weren't you?
Yes, yes. I think she's probably also only wearing her nightgown at this point, maybe with a shawl thrown over it because it's still early spring.
Oh, Charlotte,
certainly
not knowing...
not in a condition to receive visitors.
Not knowing anybody is in your room, especially any visitors, unwanted or unknown visitors. You are sitting in your nightgown and your shawl and you are hunched over, essentially, reading your own folktale that you seem to have written, still enamoured by the words that you've written. Reverend! Charlotte doesn't seem to be responding.
And he can see that she's indisposed. Is that correct?
She's just reading. I mean, she's in a nightgown with a shawl, Reverend, but you have just walked into her room and you are speaking to the disembodied voice of your niece.
The Reverend is going to pull out some sort of handkerchief and cover his eyes and approach Miss Charlotte, you have to help me. It's been quite an evening. I'm hearing Anastasia. She says she can see you.
Charlotte, can you give me a power roll?
Oh, must I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Power roll. We're looking for a 55. Wow, that was a 25. I have actually passed a power roll.
Oh,
not quite a hard success, but nearly.
So, Charlotte, you hear this voice, the drawer of your own writing, the drawer of your own folktale, the drawer of the Crimson Kiss, and what's happened in the description of this monster in these crimson seas, and this knowledge that poor old Jonas is receiving. You can't help but see the parallels in Jonas's desire to be different than himself, to be a reflection of himself, to be better than himself. Charlotte, this has to be a story that you've written. It's embedded with you. But you hear this voice from behind you. This voice of the Reverend apologising for being in your room. What do you do, Charlotte?
I think it's a shock. She certainly wasn't expecting to hear anything. So she will kind of turn around and clutching her door closed over the nightgown. Reverend George, can I see him? Do I notice him now?
As you turn around and say Reverend George, you do see him. But Reverend, for the briefest moment when Charlotte turns round, her eyes are red. And she blinks a few times. She exclaims with you being in her room. But then her eyes return to normal. She doesn't even seem to notice herself.
I do apologise, Charlotte. Miss Anastasia is talking to me from some kind of dream. She's stuck in some sort of void with some sort of water on the floor. Can you see her? Because I can't. And let me assure you, I cannot see you either. And he'll turn his back once he has got Charlotte's attention.
I still think he needs to have a reputation roll for bursting into a woman's bedroom.
He doesn't even need
the
Well,
yeah. He's not even going to roll. He's just going to take the hit.
At the request of Lynn Hardy, a reputation roll has been called. And
I think Charlotte with an app of 80 has a particularly heaving bosom as well.
Oh my goodness me.
I hope that is a mighty large handkerchief you have. Oh dear. Avert those eyes, Reverend.
1d6 or 1d4 or...
Well, I think in this instance, being in an unmarried, a widow's room without invitation and at this incredibly late hour, whilst, and I hate to say it, Reverend, you are speaking to another woman. This is rather terribly unreputationally situation. It's going to be a 1d6.
But it was an emergency.
That's what they all say.
Oh, that is just a one reputation loss.
Oh, my word. Got away with that, didn't he? So, Reverend, you're in the room. Charlotte's there. She's seen you. You've seen her. You're listening to Anastasia. Anastasia, what do you do?
What happened to the uncle? She's still coming for me.
I'm with Charlotte now. Charlotte, can you see Anastasia or not?
Charlotte, can you hear me?
Anastasia,
yes,
don't
it's
tell me.
Me.
Are you
Charlotte?
Here? Can I hear her?
You people? Can't see or hear her. You can see the Reverend with a handkerchief on his face.
I think she can hear me, Uncle.
I'm not sure she can. Say, ask her a question.
Charlotte, can you see my mother?
Charlotte, are you seeing anybody other than myself?
And Charlotte looks around the room, but there's nobody that she can see. Even, I don't know, is Philippe still there as well?
Even or... Philippe's gone at this point.
George, there's only us here.
Well, you really do have to believe me. Anastasia is talking to me. She is somewhere we don't know. She is in some sort of void with some water on the floor, and there is a visage of her mother, and it's fairly gruesome from what I understand. And, Thomas is downstairs with Lord Cosgrove, and they can actually hear Adam's voice as well. It's certainly all happening tonight, but let me assure you, I am covering my eyes, and I will excuse myself. If you'd be so good to perhaps join us downstairs, we might be able to do something. And he'll excuse himself and back out of the room rather quickly as possibly he can.
Of course, I'll be there in just a moment.
As Charlotte's getting ready and the Reverend's going downstairs, Anastasia, you can see Charlotte moving, Charlotte getting ready, but you can see next to you this white dress.
You are like me.
I don't know what that means. I'm not like you.
You are like me.
Anastasia, is she still there? If you don't like what you see, close your eyes and ask questions. If she's talking to you, she may know things. What is she saying?
She's saying that I'm like her.
Anastasia, did you close your eyes?
No, she doesn't actually listen to her uncle that much.
Just checking.
He always throws in a terrible idea in whatever advice he gives her, at least one.
So your mother is once again reaching out to you, and unless you do something, she is going to embrace you.
I think I've been steadily taking steps backwards towards Charlotte's whole time, like meeting her speed and trying to, basically... delay until I'm told what to do, because this is a lot to deal with.
Give me a power roll, please, Anastasia.
That is a failure.
Oh, Anastasia. Anastasia.
Happening.
The next That's step me. You take, as you take a step away from your mother, you feel your foot fall into the water. The surface that you've been walking on, the water that you've been walking on, now no longer seems to be solid. You step into it and you lose your balance. Your other foot, even still where it is, begins slowly descending into the water. What do you do, Anastasia?
Well, maybe this is how I wake up, she says, and she just drifts into the water.
If she willingly drifts into the water... As you descend into this black, murky liquid, this body of water, you just see this white dress rippling above you as you descend beneath the surface. You hear this slightly distorted,
"You are like me."
No.
Thomas, Lord Cosgrove, you left the... house, I believe. You went outside.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Thomas is marching with purpose towards the lake. Probably, to be fair, finding his discarded clothing, jacket, tailcoat, a shoe on the way, and reattiring himself as befits a gentleman as he stalks towards the lake.
What's rather unique as you both leave the house is you open the doors and you step through the house and you walk through this, almost this cloud of red mist as you walk out through the house, almost unavoidable. It's just there, it's everywhere. But it disappears rather quickly. Can you both give me an intelligence roll, please, as you walk out towards the lake?
That is a 40 under 65 for Thomas, a regular success.
And a failure for Lord Cosgrove.
Lord Cosgrove, you are fully just curious about this young gentleman who seems to be showing an absolute need for care. And who better, Lord Cosgrove, to offer such pastoral care as yourself in this moment? This young gentleman is in all kinds of susceptible, vulnerable social situations, and you happen to be there. But Thomas, things aren't right in your mind at the minute. And when you walk out and you see that the sun is in the sky, it's slightly off-putting. Yet, the lake is there, Thomas.
Making his way to the shoreline, Thomas will stand there, arms outstretched, and shout, "Father, we're here. Where are you?"
Me.
Are you in the lake?
Give me a spot hidden. Cosgrove, you're welcome to do the same if you're standing next to Thomas, sure, listening to him speak out loud.
That is a 57, which is higher than my spot hidden of 50. Failed it by 7.
Where has...
Would you like to use any luck?
Oh, sorry.
I have 28 luck remaining. But you know what? It's odds on. I'm going to push the roll.
Okay, well, just before you push the roll, Lord Cosgrove, because obviously if you see something, you don't have to share.
Indeed.
Can I ask what you rolled, Lord Cosgrove?
I rolled an 8 under 67, so that's an extreme.
Wow. Okay. Cosgrove, let's just see how Thomas pushes his roll first, shall we? Thomas, how do you push your roll?
Thomas looks around frantically and marches into the lake. Maybe if he's in the lake, his father will be able to talk to him. Maybe he'll be able to find his father. So he'll walk in up to about knee height into the lake amongst the weeds and slimies.
Okay. Well, just before you walk into the lake, when you've heard this voice from Adam Prideaux saying, "Find me," and Cosgrove, you heard this voice too. Mm. Seems as if you're sharing this madness at the moment. Cosgrove, you see, almost quite centrally to the lake, this perfect, calm surface just ripple. Just this, it's almost as if there's a pebble that's dropped in, almost giving a location, like a point on a map, as if someone was putting a pin in a naval map. You see on this calm lake surface, when Thomas says, "Where are you, Father? Where are you?" And you hear this voice, "Find me." It's almost as if a pebble is thrown from within the lake, straight up, and then plop, back down. And you see it perfectly. Until Thomas Prideaux wades into the water, splashing around like some kind of a madman. And speaking of madman, Thomas, could you give us your pushed roll, please?
That is a 93 over 50.
Oh,
that is a failure.
Dear, oh dear.
Should have spent that luck.
Yes, you should have. Cosgrove, I'll tell you what you see, and then we'll see how Thomas responds. Thomas, you wade out into the water. I believe you were calling for your father. Is that right, Thomas?
Correct.
And as you're wading out, calling for your father, you feel the floor, the bed, the bank just disappear from underneath you. But unfortunately, your feet slip rather than go down. And as you go back, you smack your head on one of the rocks on the shoreline and then just roll gently into the water. Firstly, could you give me a 1d4?
That's 2.
That'll be 2 points of damage. And then I'd like you to give me a luck roll, please.
Good thing I didn't spend that luck.
Well, yeah.
That is actually a good thing I didn't spend that luck. That is 26 under 28.
Well, turns out that as you float out into the middle of the lake, you're lying face up, which is quite handy.
Rather gentle. Floating, but drifting towards the centre of the lake.
And it's not that you're unconscious. It's almost shock. Feet went out of you, banged your head back, really hurt yourself, and it's almost as if your body's just gone weak for a moment. Cosgrove, you're watching the young Thomas.
At this point, I'm somewhat torn. As difficult as I find it to care in general terms about, I am relieved to see that he's not drowning. Does he seem to need help?
Thomas, I imagine after a moment, you're, as I mentioned, not unconscious, and as luck would have it, you are breathing rather than coughing and spluttering and inhaling half of the lake. Do you need help?
Thomas is probably able to doggy paddle back towards the bank. The experience with the red jelly has given him a bit more confidence in the water than he otherwise would have had. And although in a bit of shock, I think realization that that bump to the head probably knocked a bit of sense into him, and realizing that the bank is probably the safest place at the moment to resume the search.
You return yourself to the bank, and as you do, you are looking out at this lake. You see that Cosgrove is looking at a very kind of specific area, but you just seem to be standing by this lake, and there's quite a unique few things that happen all rather at the same time. Charlotte, you were getting dressed and coming downstairs, is that right?
Yes, indeed. Charlotte throws on whatever is the quickest dress to get into, and she hurries downstairs.
Charlotte, can you give me an intelligence roll, please?
Okay.
And a fashion roll.
All right, both. Okay, fair enough. So for the fashion roll, she probably has just like thrown on the lightest pair of stays. She's got one of the corded ones because it's quickest to get into without having a lady's maid there. So that is a 53. Unfortunately, that's 79 versus 53, and
dear,
not going too well.
Buttons in the wrong place, perhaps. Slightly ill-fitting. I mean, you mentioned something about a heaving bosom at one point. Perhaps there's some difficulty there that's going to make our good reverend blush somewhat in the very near future. but we'll see whose reputation that has an impact on. And your intelligence role, please, Charlotte.
And my intelligence role is, we're looking for 45. Oh, a hard success, 20 against 45.
Perhaps the reason your dress isn't up to scratch and the way you want it to sit and fit is that you can't help but look out the window. And as you look out the window, Charlotte, you can see the sun setting at an incredible pace. It's almost as if you can watch it moving down and not just sitting there watching for hours the sun setting. This is happening in a matter of minutes. And it goes down. Night descends. The stars come out.
Sorry, the sun is setting.
Setting.
Well, she can't have spent the whole day reading, can she? This is very confusing to her.
When you're ready, do you head downstairs to meet the Reverend? Was that the intention?
Yes, absolutely.
You find the Reverend downstairs. Reverend, where were you headed?
The Reverend was just headed downstairs back into the... I think we were in the study with the diary of Matthew Prideaux. And he's just pacing. He is very worried about Anastasia and quite where she is. She might be in peril and he feels a bit powerless. Doesn't quite understand what's going on. He will be glad when Charlotte comes down.
Anastasia seems to have gone rather quiet. You can't, anything you're saying now, you can't hear what she's saying. You seem to have lost this connection with her, whatever it was that was going on. Reverend, could you give me an intelligence roll, please?
I sure can. I have astronomy too.
Oh, or astronomy. You're very welcome to use either.
He'll go with intelligence. He's a bright chap. That is a success, 57 versus 80.
Reverend, you are very aware of the pressure of the last 24 hours, dare I say, week. But in this moment, as you've paced the room, you paced from one side where the sun was in the middle of the sky, and by the time you reached the other, it was halfway down. By the time you got back, the shadow you were standing in consumes the room. The sun is gone. It's only when you're halfway back again that you stop, and you can see that the moon has passed through a huge part of the sky, and looking up, being the man you are, knowing the stars the way you do, you see that time is moving at an incalculable rate. Is this a miracle?
He'll look up at the moon. Are the phases of the moon changing?
No. Not to within that particular moment. You're not seeing different phases of the moon as you go through, shall we say, well, sun up, sun down, sun up. It feels rather unusual. Perhaps there is a change, but nothing so significant.
He'll shake his head and maybe look for that sherry.
Well,
just to steady his nerves.
You're having a short nip of sherry. Charlotte arrives at the door, but almost at the same time as somebody else, Charlotte. You arrive at the door to the study. And you hear, well, Charlotte, you see the older gentleman who is a very well-known entity within the Prideaux house, knocking on the door.
Reverend?
Harris, is that you? I thought I told you to get some sleep.
Yes, I have, sir. I'm very well rested, thank you. Lunch is nearly ready and your guests have arrived, sir.
Very good, Harris. Very good. I shall be there momentarily. Bear with me. Yes, he will look around and see what state he is in and perhaps ask Harris to send in his dresser.
Very good, sir. Where should I ask Lady Dunn and Lady Hawthorne to wait, sir?
Yes. I guess we're in the study where they would usually wait.
You're in the study, sir.
Yes, very well, very well. Let me just scroll down a little, Harris, and see if I can find out where they're supposed to be.
I suppose I could ask them to wait in the green lounge, sir, or the blue lounge, or perhaps the library, sir.
Let's have everybody waiting in the green lounge. I do like that particular colour. Like I say, I will be there momentarily, and I believe Miss Charlotte will be joining us as well.
Very good, sir. Miss Charlotte, would you like to accompany me?
Yes. No, actually, I'll follow you in just a moment, Harris. I would like to speak to the Reverend. If you don't mind.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And Harris very slowly trots off towards the front of the house where he is no doubt collecting Lady Dunn and Lady Hawthorne. You have a moment, Charlotte and Reverend.
Charlotte. What's going on?
I don't rightly know. I thought it was night time, and then I walked from one side of the room and... but no, have you heard from Anastasia? She was talking to me, and then she wasn't talking to me. And you have to believe me, Charlotte, she genuinely was. I know I have spoken to you about hearing voices in your head. If I have accused of anything, I do apologise. It would seem it is quite catching around here in Kingscombe. Thomas had Adam. Where the blazes is he? I'll have one of the servants see if he can find Thomas, because Cosgrove was here as well. It was... Are you well, Charlotte?
I think so. If Charlotte wasn't so worried about Anastasia, she'd probably be gloating a little bit at this point, the fact that the Reverend is now also hearing voices.
I do ask, as I saw a glint of red in your eye, I wondered if some of the mist had rubbed off on you.
No, my eyes are feeling quite well, thank you very much, although it has been somewhat of a late night, and I haven't exactly slept very much tonight, but perhaps it was just that, just bloodshot a little.
I'm not sure any of us have slept. It feels like, well, time has passed quite insubstantially, but Is the Reverend fairly well dressed, ready to meet, or will he?
I'm afraid not. The Reverend was either in his quite unsuitable clothes from the rabbit's ball, which would be a few days old now, or he was in his nightgown, which, again, he'd been wearing for a few nights, apparently.
Okay. He will quickly... Charlotte, I don't suppose you could be a darling and... go and make some excuse for me. I believe I've just been chasing a rat through the hedge and need a moment to collect myself.
Make excuses. We have guests.
Do excuse me. Lord and Lady Dunn and Lady Hawthorne and I can't remember whether they said Tobias was with them as well, but I'll be there momentarily. Do excuse me, and he will race upstairs to try and find something and call out for somebody to dress him.
I'll ask you to make a fashion roll, but you can give me the result in a moment. Charlotte, do you go and accompany Lady Hawthorne and Lady Dunn?
Yes, Charlotte kind of looks down at herself, realizing this is probably not the most glamorous image that she would wish to portray to... Ladies Hawthorne and Dunn, especially after having last seen them at the Rabbit's Ball in that wonderful sea blue silk dress, but there is nothing for it. It would probably be a worse faux pas to keep them waiting than to run back upstairs and get changed into something else. So,
indeed.
Well, off she goes.
As you make your way to the green study, we're going to see what Thomas and Cosgrove are up to. Thomas, Cosgrove, you're standing at the edge of the lake. Thomas, you recently went for a quick swim. Cosgrove, you witnessed once again the wonderful maturity of Lord Thomas Prudhoe.
Thomas, do you have such a thing as a boat?
Keeper, does Thomas have such a thing as a boat, maybe in the boathouse on the lake?
Give us a luck roll, would you?
I must.
Let's see if it's been well kept, shall we?
It's a 33 over 28.
I'm afraid you do, but it's a bit rotten and there's a few holes.
You know what? It's better than nothing. We do have a small rowboat, Cosgrove. It's probably not quite the level you're used to, but out here in Devonshire, we have, simpler fare. Come, let us have a peruse and see whether it's seaworthy, what?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, it's no hardship. You can make your way around to the other side of the lake where there is a small little boathouse, and you find that there is this little rowboat, almost just for lovely occasion in the summer, just to punt across the actual surface of the lake and enjoy it. But you can see that it's old. There's a little bit of a rot in there. You think that there might be one of the wooden knots has popped through. So it will float, mostly.
Cosgrove takes a look at the boat and turns to Thomas and says, tell you what, young man, I'll navigate from the shore and you row out to the spot I indicate.
Oh no, I insist we shall go together, keep ourselves company. It's three men in a boat, but only two of us, I suppose. Are you absolutely sure? You shall stay ashore?
I think I will find it much easier to point out the exact spot if I keep my bearings in the shore. Once I'm out there on the water, it'll become very complicated.
Very well, Cosgrove. And Thomas will cast off and jump into the boat, hopefully remembering to put the oars in before he does that.
What kind of a roll do we want here? I think... I'd like to go with dexterity. I think this is about the control of this vessel.
Thomas is a pretty average person with a strength, dexterity and constitution of 45. But that is a 10. That is an extreme success on Thomas's dexterity.
Okay, so within a few pull on the oars, you find that you're actually hovering over the spot that Lord Cosgrove has been quite... well... calmly indicating from the safety of the shoreline.
Is this the spot, Cosgrove?
I believe so. It is certainly the spot that seemed to be unnaturally moving while the rest of the lake was calm.
So Thomas. What next? Do we go in? Do we look for something floating? What did you see?
I simply saw the signs of movement below the surface. I'll tell you what, young man, why don't you dip one of those oars into the water and see whether something bites?
Spot of fishing it is, then. And Thomas does that. He dips the end of the oar gingerly into the water and pushes it down as far as he can go without letting go.
Okay, so you're pushing the oar down into the water, seeing if there's anything down there that you'd make contact with or dislodge or anything along those lines. Is that the idea?
That's the idea.
Okay. Can you give me a strength roll, please?
And that is a 0.8, which is, again, another extreme success. Two extremes in a row.
Wow. Okay. Anastasia, can you give me a strength roll, please?
Strength? Okay. That is a failure. 80 over 45. I think Anastasia must be feeling how I'm feeling right now.
Well, Anastasia, in the water that you are in, this black void of water with no light, you seem to have escaped your mother's embrace. And as you're swimming, pushing yourself through, you see this glimmer of light, this ripple off to the side of you. But you hear this voice, and it comes to you clearly through the water, as if someone's speaking to you on land. You just hear this voice. You recognize it instantly. It's your father's voice, Anastasia. And you just hear him say,
"Towards the light. Swim, my girl, towards the light.
Daddy.
Swim. Swim. Now, while you can."
I know outside of game that whenever people have that much urgency, it's probably a scam. But I don't think Anastasia knows that in game.
He does have your bank details by now.
Yeah, she's been through a lot. So I think she's going to start swimming towards the light. Where else can she go?
Can you give me a swim roll, please? I'm just going to make a quick roll as well.
I mean, she has base 20 and she rolled a 78. So she's more like flailing in the water rather than swimming. Swimming is a thinker, you know.
Well, as you flail through the water, you do progress towards the light, but it just takes time and time, and you feel your lungs almost beginning to ache. You realize that you are not breathing. You haven't been breathing. You've been under this water for such a long time. And as you move towards the light, you feel this thing from above you just almost jab down. And you feel it just hits you in the shoulder, in the side. Anastasia, you lose one hit point as this thing from above you, from the surface, just swings down and hits you as you glide through the water. But then, on your foot, on the heel of your foot, you feel a grip, a hand wrapping around your foot. And it squeezes, not to hurt, but it squeezes. And it pulls you back down. What do you do, Anastasia?
Up to now, Anastasia has been certain she was dreaming, but now she felt actual pain, which isn't right for a dream. She thought if she just lets go and stops panicking, she would wake up and everything would be okay. But now that she felt pain, she's realizing that she might actually die in this dream. And that's when the adrenaline kicks in and she just propels herself away, trying to kick whatever's grabbing her and fighting for her life with whatever ounce of strength she has in her.
Okay, can you give me a brawl roll, please?
It's not a lot of answers, but...
it's not, I'm afraid. Not at the moment.
That's an 82 over 25.
Ooh, you feel this one hand on your foot pulling you down. The other one reaches up. Rather than brawling you and wrestling with you, it seems to be grabbing clumps of the dress that you are wearing, pulling you down, and it pulls you down until you are face to face, Anastasia, with your father, who says very clearly,
"Swim, Anastasia, swim. Get out. You have to wake up. You have to wake up. Don't let him do this. Stop him in any way you can. You have to wake up."
And he pushes something against your chest. He pushes something flat against your chest and almost wraps your arms around it. And then he pushes you. He almost grabs you by the waist and pushes you up. Thomas, you see, as does Lord Cosgrove, an explosion of water. Anastasia, can you give me a luck roll, please?
I can do. I'm not doing well right now. That's an 84 over 64.
You around
the 80s.
Explode from the lake's surface, Anastasia, and you almost rise 3, 4, 5 foot above before you descend back down and you land horrifically awkwardly into this boat, giving Thomas Prideaux and Cosgrove the shock of their life. But you land into this boat. I'm afraid, Anastasia, you lose another hit point as you land horrifically on this broken bench of wood within the boat, and it rocks side to side. But you are in this boat, Anastasia. Thomas, you are in this boat. Cosgrove, you are on the shore. What do the three of you do?
Thomas, is that the spell is broken? The hunt for father is... That can go hang itself. Anastasia is here. Anastasia, who Thomas last saw disappearing into the red mist at the rabbit's ball, hasn't seen for 2 days, is here. And I think Thomas is going to drop the oar, rush over to his sister, take her up in his arms, and ensure that she's okay. My dear sister, what have they done to you? Where have you been?
I think at this point Anastasia's coughing up water and trying to come back to life. He's also in a lot of pain, so you can imagine a lot of writhing and spluttering for a bit, although my voice can't support it right now.
Cosgrove, you're witnessing this. You've seen Anastasia burst from the water and land in the boat. You are the only individual who knew where Anastasia was. So this is quite an unusual sight.
Yes, Cosgrove is still trying to put the pieces together in his mind here. And after thinking for a moment, just shouts out across the water, "Young Thomas, is there any word on your father? Your father, is he there as well?"
Thomas turns to Anastasia. "Sister, have you seen father?"
Anastasia, before you speak, could you give me a 1d8, please?
That is a 3.
You have 3 words to communicate to Thomas.
Anastasia is coughing and just having trouble breathing still. And she's a bit hurt that, they're asking her questions rather than trying to, give her a little bit of first aid, but whatever. Family, what are they like? And she's going to say, "Father, saved me."
Thomas, give me a spot hidden.
That is a 30 under 50. It's a regular success.
Cosgrove, give me a spot hidden, please.
No, that is a failure. 79 over 67.
Wonderful. Don't you love it when the dice start to tell the story that you really hope they do? Cosgrove, you don't see this momentary exchange between Thomas Prideaux and his sister Anastasia. Thomas, as Anastasia says, "Father saved me," you look at her, you really look at her, and you can see that not only is she holding a book pushed tight, held, clasped tight against her chest, but you know that book, Thomas. It's your father's book. The book that no one could ever see. The book that no one ever looked at. That is his book. That is the book that you searched for. That your uncle searched for. Your sister has it. She has it in her hands. There's a weird glow about Anastasia, almost like a red glow that seems to be pulsing every few seconds. Anastasia, can you give me a 1d8, please?
Indeed. An 8.
Anastasia, you feel weak in this moment. You feel disconnected from being in this boat, from your brother. You've only just been reunited, but you feel as if this may be a dream. You have 8 words to communicate anything you'd like to communicate to your brother, Anastasia.
It's a lot of words, to be honest. Can I start with 4 and then he can respond to me and then I can do another 4?
Yeah, because it's you. Sure. Let's have 4 words.
Is this a dream?
This is a nightmare, sister. But you're not asleep. This is real. I'm so sorry.
And before you have your next 4 words, and just as your brother says, this is a nightmare and this is real, Thomas, you see that with each preceding pulse of red that illuminates your sister, she becomes less corporeal.
Thomas frantically tries to hold on to Anastasia. If she's starting to disappear, there's a small part of him is looking at that book, thinking, is the book also becoming less corporeal? Is this, or is it just Anastasia?
Are you looking at the book?
Well, I'm looking at Anastasia. If she's clutching the book up to her, I'm assuming I can see it too.
You can, but I'm going to ask you to make a choice.
I think in this moment, Thomas is going to look at his sister. The book be damned. The book has been the problem for all of this. The book is what drove Father away. And frankly, with Father gone, Thomas needs to look after his own. Book be damned. It'll turn up again, I'm sure. He's going to look into Anastasia's eyes.
And they are fading. Anastasia, you have 4 words.
She looks at him weakly and she says, "Am I like Mother?"
Oh, nice.
You are nothing like Mother.
And Thomas, just please give me a luck roll.
And that is a 98 over 28.
Oh, no.
Anastasia, the last words you hear from your brother as you say, "Am I like Mother?" Your brother turns to you and he looks into your eyes and says, "You are nothing." And then you're gone. The last words you hear from your brother are, "You are nothing."
Technically accurate.
Anastasia, you blink and you find yourself standing bolt upright, your right arm outstretched, the hand with the incision on it, leaning out and touching a large red gelatinous egg. And you feel that even though you've just arrived here, you've been here for days. Thomas, you're nothing like your mother. Oh, she's gone. But there is a book. There is a book in the boat, Thomas.
Thomas picks up the book, opens to the frontispiece. What's written on the book?
You can see that this is a Bible for the heart of the sea chapel. And the inscription on the inside is to Lord Adam Prideaux. But unfortunately, Thomas, so many of the pages in this book are just wet mulch. It has been in the water for so many months, possibly a year or so, possibly as long as you've been looking for your father. But quite unusually, Thomas, three pages seem to be in pristine condition. And they have a rather unique artwork. They have a rather unique writing. You do recognize a little symbol on one of them. Do you look at them?
Absolutely.
Please, describe the following pages.
The first page has a branched tree above three waves. In the middle is a large, spidery creature, almost webbed between the legs, almost like an octopus. And the writing is almost pictographic. And at the bottom is the usual symbol that we have all known, come to know and love in Kingscombe. The second page has a face, a grotesque, lizard-like, fish-like face scrawled across the centre, and more pictographic writing. And again, that same symbol at the bottom. And the third has a extremely large, tentacled, half-dragon, half-octopus, half-humanoid creature. And again, the same symbol at the bottom, the same pictographic writing. And I think Thomas has spent enough time around Matthew Prideaux's journal and around Kingscombe that he might be able to hazard a guess as to what these three representations might be.
I'd like to hear it.
Thomas is not sure what order. He's not sure exactly whether he's right. He wonders whether these might be the Hydra, the Dagon, and the Cthulhu that are mentioned in Matthew Prideaux's journal. Whether this is the other Holy Trinity that was mentioned.
Thomas, you have spent significant time with Matthew Prideaux's journal. You surmise that each one of these does represent one of these Hydra, Dagon, Cthulhu. You've read The Waves of Madness. You know what could happen. These documents, these pages from the Heart of the Sea Bible have been preserved. Unexplainably preserved. This was your father's book. These pages were from your father's book. He talked about being able to stop Lord Hawthorne. He talked about being able to stop everything that's going on, that he had the way to stop. This appears to be the weapon that you have found. Reverend.
Yes.
What was your fashion roll?
The Reverend is not very good. This is why he has help. There was a 41 versus 18.
You aren't even finished buttoning your top of your shirt. And you run almost too far ahead of yourself into the green study. Or is it the green lounge? Can't remember. Green lounge. You run into the green lounge, and immediately you find Lady Clara Hawthorne standing right in front of you.
Good day to you, Lady Hawthorne. You must excuse me. It has been quite the morning. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I'm very, very sorry to keep you waiting. Lady Dunn, Lord Dunn.
I say, Reverend, it would appear that your outfit doesn't appear to know whether it's coming or going either.
Indeed not. Indeed not. You have got me there for sure. Has Harris asked you if you can get you any refreshments at all?
I don't know where your manservant has got to. I must say, it's most improper asking people over for lunch and then keeping them waiting and then turning up looking like one has indeed been chasing a rat through a hedge. Whatever on earth that might actually mean.
Indeed, indeed. You see, I had quite the upsetting night before, and I don't feel I have had much sleep after, put a damper on Lord and Lady Dunn's hospitality at the Rabbit's Ball, but I did find it a little wasteful, if that is a correct word to use, and he will ring the bell at that opportune moment.
But you realise at that moment that Lady Dunn is sitting in the room as you say that, and she looks at you and says, "Wasteful? I think you'll find it was a splendid occasion. And, Reverend, I'd like you to make a reputation roll with the penalty die, not just because of your ill-fitting clothes, but this rather distasteful view of the event of the season."
That is a 74 versus 64. Let's see if we can make it any worse. No, it is a 74 versus 64.
Well, that'll be a 1d6 plus 1. How dare you, sir?
That is a 6.
Ooh, a bout of reputation. In this moment, Reverend, I assume you are so incredibly flustered that the two leading ladies of Kingscombe stand watching you in this moment, finding words, finding the right situation, finding anything to do. And then...
Honestly, Reverend, I do not have the time for this. Really. But there is one thing that I do need you to do for me.
No, of course, Lady Hawthorne. What could I do for you?
Well, we need to have a baptism, don't we? For Lord Cosgrove. I'd like to invite you all along to take part in those proceedings.
What a delightful idea. I did see him up on the balcony. Without wishing to dig myself any deeper into a hole, I was a little upset that I wasn't on the balcony with you. I thought...
Reverend. Indeed. Time is of the essence.
You are quite correct. Might I have time to gather my official robes together, and I shall fetch for Thomas as well to join us, if that would be suitable.
We'll be quick about it, man. We don't have all day. Quite literally, as I'm sure you are aware.
Yes, more aware than ever. Do excuse me once again. And he will go off and find somebody who's good at dressing.
Well, as you leave this room and you go to find someone good at dressing, almost as a habitual way to have a private conversation, your arm is grabbed and you are pulled into the corner of the staircase. And it is Tobias Hawthorne. And he grabs you and says, Reverend.
Yes, young man.
They have Anastasia. She is at the shore. She is at the boat. We have to go now.
I will. Yes. Where does this baptism take place? Does it take place at the chapel or on the boat or what?
Everything that's happening. Everything that's happening. And he points at the door to Prideaux Manor that is open. And Reverend, the sun sets and night descends. We have to go now!
Thank you for joining us for Cult and Culpability. Remember, you can find us at www.miskatonicplayhouse.com, and you can also visit the main stage for other scenarios from the Miskatonic Playhouse, with links in the show notes below. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel and support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/MiskatonicPlayhouse. where you can access exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. But if you can spare a minute to leave a review, it makes a huge difference to other like-minded listeners who will be able to find and enjoy our work. Until next time, when the curtain rises again.